Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Traders for Hot Pub podcast. I'm, of course, your host, the Duke of Deception, Pleasant Bakili, back at it again. And I'm joined today by one of the most faithful of the faithfuls, one of the big parts of the season. I'm here with Peter. Peter, how are you doing at this hour?
I am good, man. It's been an awesome experience getting to reflect back on the whole, you know, the Traders game, and just full of a lot of love, gratitude, and excited to talk today.
I'm very pumped to get your thoughts and feelings about the season and your performance in it. But I want to start at the very beginning when you get the call. So do I have this? So what was your history with the Traders coming in? Were you coming in completely blank on what the show could be, or had you done some research?
I had seen the first season. So yeah, I had binged the entire first season. I had known Ari, you know, from The Bachelor before. I remember when he had first posted about it and his season was coming out. So had been familiar with the show. Definitely did as much research as I could. It was a very last minute call for me. I had about a week to prep from call to when we started filming. And there's a lot that goes into that, getting ready to go film a show like that. But I tried, you know, definitely watched, tried to do my research, didn't try to copy or formulate too much stuff to copy from the way the first season was played, because I think that could probably hurt gameplay and have too many preconceived notions, but definitely got familiar with it.
That's the beauty of this game. I feel like we are seeing a completely different game play out on season two than we did season one. And you had a heavy hand in it, because I want to talk about the Shield Gambit, as I've been calling it. So y'all decide we're not going to let the others know who has the shield. And you decided, I have a short list of suspicions. I'm going to leak to them that I have the shield and see how that goes. What was it about Dan, Parv, and CT that landed them on your short list for suspicion?
Dan had been someone that a lot of people have been talking. He chose to do this. This was his gameplay, but he was just so quiet and never presented any information that it just started becoming suspicious. And so that was with Dan, why he was on that list. Parvati, I will never forget from the roundtable ceremony when we first got selected and Larsa tries to put suspicion on her. In fact, at that point, she really didn't. She wasn't a traitor at that point. But she just, I remember she got really, really red and like had her infamous now, like the squinting and like the pouty lips kind of thing. And it just something was like, okay, if it wasn't then, maybe I could see Dan then also recruiting her at that point, you know, or I don't know if the recruitment had happened yet, but I remember Larsa had put suspicion on her, and CT had, I just couldn't get a read on him. Back if you remember, Kevin and I had kind of made our first play of trying to keep, you know, just to like make it through the first couple of days without getting banished or murdered. We wanted to like act like it was a fake feud between us, just so we could, people would like, they're fighting, let them do their thing. So with Kevin and I, CT had walked in one time on a conversation with us when we were talking about what we were going to continue doing. And he like, we didn't mean for him to hear that. And then he heard it. And he remember he got really like, he got over dramatic and he's like, oh my God, this is brilliant. All this. And it just, to me, it seemed like he was overreacting, where I'm like, shit, did we just spoil that to a traitor? And so I quickly lost the suspicion with CT after, but that's why those three I chose to leak the lie to.
So then after the gambit plays out, and Bergie comes in and the shield has worked, everything worked to perfection, what caused CT to get off your list? Because the other two were very much on it the whole time.
Yeah, what was not shown on the edit was, you guys thought I was aggressive. You should have seen how aggressive I was actually in real life playing the game. CT, I was looking at, right, because I knew Bergie was going to come in. So my head wasn't even turned to the door. So I'm just like trying to slyly look over at all three of their faces. And the second the door opens, it was just the biggest dead giveaway of Dan Parvati. CT had no expression change at all. Like he was just like, oh, like, look, you just the next one to come in. But the second I saw the facial reactions of the three of them, I dropped CT and I'm like, Dan and Parvati. And what I then did, and they didn't show this, I then say, everybody, I want you to look over here. Dan and Parvati are traitors, and I wanted all the heat to be put on them. And I wanted them in that moment to see how they would react, how they'd blush, how red they would get. I just wanted to see how they crack. And so I had all that. I called them out. And then I remember Parvati's like, wow, that's a really, you know, big statement there to be putting on us. But like, you could tell she was like very uncomfortable in her seat. And so I was just, and then I just was like using that like obnoxious play of like, guys, look how she's moving. She's like very squirmish, and just keeping that heat. And yeah. And so that's why I dropped CT. And then from then on, I was like gung ho. I'm like, okay, we got Parvati, we got Dan, guys, let's figure out who else it is.
So throughout the season, there has been a group, an alliance, if you will, that the internet has fondly called the Peter Pals. And yeah, that consists of course, yourself, Trishelle, Kevin, John Burkow, and Bergie. And yeah, I wanted to know, how did this come about is my first question.
So the way I played the game was I didn't want to find who the traders were. I wanted to find who I was going to trust first. And once I gave them my 100% trust, I was willing to go to the end. Even if I was wrong, I'm like, I'm going to play though, like I'm committed. And yeah, the recruitment can throw wrenches in that, but we were going to cross that bridge later. So, John was actually the very first person that I ever fully trusted, believe it or not. Out of everyone there, I picked John, and there was just really some convincing arguments he had had about why would he come on from, you know, his political career just to, you know, straight up lie to, like, he just had done a lot of convincing arguments. Bergie then being another one, Trishelle, we just found, also at that point, I was able to confirm that they were all trustworthy when we did the shield block mission, because the fact that they didn't spoil any of that information and they let the traitors fall into the trap had confirmed to me, okay, these obviously aren't traitors. And Sheree was also one that I was able to be able to trust. She wasn't necessarily as much as part of the group at that point yet, but I was able to confirm everything at that point. And yeah, so once I figured out who I wanted to trust, then it was, okay, let's go attack the traitors.
So then the second part of my question is, why had you let it be so visible that the five of you were working together? Because I feel like that definitely did cause the other side to potentially form a counter alliance, even to combat the five of you.
Good. That's a good question. It wasn't ever intentionally like we were trying to push it in people's faces. It was, and I think, you know, looking back, I was so into the game and I was so invested that maybe I was like blinded to some things, but like, I remember like, and I remember thinking, I'm like, why are they so concerned with like, what we're saying? Why aren't they just using this time to talk their own game up and own strat? They keep trying to like butt in and like listen to us. And I guess that's when the group was kind of being formed and like the rest of the castle was seeing who the group was. But it's not like we ever were like going around prancing, hey, we're the pals of Peter Pals or whatever, and like this is us. It became that. And I know it was tough because, you know, I had a couple, and there was like, they kept saying the closed door meetings, and none of that was like intentional. It was just, you're given such limited gameplay time to actually talk strategy. Like when you're in the reality portion before you go to the mission, the second that reality's done, you're done. The producers won't allow any gameplay to be spoken. So it's like, you can either choose to like, not like worry more about feelings and not necessarily hurt people's feelings and like talk about the weather or have a whatever conversation when someone comes in that you're sus about, or you can choose to use your time wisely and have an organized game plan for the day of, this is what we're going to execute, this is how we're going to do it. Because if you don't take advantage of that, now you're just, the day is almost kind of a waste. You're kind of like, you're always together then at the mission. You don't have any privacy. So it's like a rock and a hard place of, okay, how much do you balance friendship and emotion or their feelings and actually getting strategy talked about?
So I'm about to ask you probably the number one question that's been on the minds of many, including myself. And yeah, so y'all get Dan banished. Dan has been banished. Yeah. The traitors go back to the turret. They're choosing to recruit, and they recruit Peter. Why did you turn down the recruitment? Especially because, and for me, it was because I felt like, well, you have this solid group of four other people. You can still continue being the biggest traitor hunter, and they're not going to bat an eye. So my big question is, why did you choose to turn down the recruitment?
Couple of reasons. first one was truly, ultimately, I just at that point could not turn on my team. I just felt we had so much momentum. I know, you know, obviously money would have been incredible, but there is an aspect of like, I'll just be honest. Like I remember watching Suri and watch the first season and like, I'm like, damn, if I would have won like that, I would have felt shitty like that. There is also, there's bigger things than money, right? Life's not all about mm-hmm. that. But I know this is a game and you're there to play it, but that wasn't the only reason. I didn't want to turn, but also I didn't think it made sense. I didn't think it made sense from a strategic standpoint. I think if I'm looking at it, I'm like, if there's any logical minds here thinking of who's going to be recruited, because at that point, the next morning, we know that there is no murder. So which means there's a recruitment. Mm-hmm. It was too obvious that I was going to be the choice for the recruit at that point. I'm the one that was leading this charge. I'm the one that was putting all the heat on the traitors. I'm being accurate with leading the heat on the traitors. Who else would a trader recruit then over me? Like I would have been the most obvious choice. So I'm like, okay, I accept this. Now they know they're able to, you know, throw me under the bus the very next day. It's going to help Phaedra and Parvati's game. They're going to gain credibility now. If they're able to get me banished the very next day or 2 days down the line, any suspicion on them now is completely dissolved. And I think they sort of the finish. And I just didn't think it made sense. Either way, there was pros and there was cons. But since there were so many cons to accepting it as well, I'm like, I might as well stay with my momentum and the people that I really trust and that I'm loyal to.
Okay. I got a couple more questions here for you. So we get to the, let's skip ahead to the round table where Parvati does get banished. So yeah. You famously did not vote, or were trying to not vote Parvati there to keep her in. What caused the motion to change for you and the decision to change? And did you feel like you were going to be able to successfully get that done?
I knew it was a long shot. I had, you know, Trishel was the one that had proposed that plan of switching from Parvati to Phaedra. And she had convincing reasoning. You know, Phaedra, and it turned out to be right. She had so much influence and so much power in that castle that that's someone that's dangerous. That like, if they can have people so blindly follow them mm-hmm. without really any actual convincing like art evidence, that's a really dangerous person to have in the game. So we have to get rid of her. So I was like, okay, I get that. You know, hindsight 2020, I think it helped the group of the faithfuls. I think it hurt me personally, but it is what it is. Just because, you know, I had led this charge of being so against Parvati, and now it's just like, now I'm flip-flopping and going to Phaedra. It's like, that's how am I going to realistically sell this and convince mm-hmm. people and not have them be suspicious. So that was tough. But I had understood Trishel's points in the moment. And, you know, that's why we went along with that route.
And final question, it's a hypothetical one. So you're at your final round table. However, instead of you leaving, Phaedra does leave. Who were you looking at potentially as the next traitor? Did you have someone else next on the list that you were suspicious of?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've not been asked that. I would have thought I did not think Kate. I knew she did throw me off a little bit when she was doing her reveal of my name for the vote of why. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. So that's all I thought, but I didn't really think that she was still a traitor because of her explanation. Mm-hmm. I would have probably thought MJ. And the reason why is the reason I'd also didn't want MJ in the room, that one, you know, infamous meme was mm-hmm. MJ and I had kind of got at it for a little bit after Ekin's murder. Mm-hmm. Right when Ekin was murdered, I thought, oh my God, MJ has to be a traitor. It means MJ is a traitor. And I was hung up on that for about a day and a half. And she and I had a lot of conversations. I then lost that suspicion on her. But if Phaedra would have been banished, I would have stayed. I probably would have gone. I wouldn't have known who else to go to again. So probably MJ.
Interesting. Well, Peter, thank you so much for your time. We do appreciate it. Looking forward to seeing how the rest of this chapter ends with season 2 and what went down with y'all in the tell-all. I'm very excited to see what this tell-all brings. Again, thank you for your time. And I hope you have a good day, man.
Yeah, man. Likewise. Thanks.